The one comment she did write back, and she said, you know, these sex scenes are getting a little redundant. And we're like, okay, well, this is our repertoire, you know. What do we do? Do we hire a consultant, or what do we do? So that's when we started asking a few more people and Googling a little bit more and to sort of, you know, buff up these scenes that we were definitely, you know, not used to writing about, that's for sure.
I was so shocked when I was reading what Barbara wrote.
Oh, I know.
Wow.
And when Kathy was writing these things, I just couldn't believe it.
I've known her for 25 years. I had no idea.
And, of course, I've told Kathy's children that she's written all those scenes.
Welcome to Content King with your host, David Rolls. We aim to keep you content with the latest news, views, research, and curious facts about what's trending around the world. And in today's show, I'm happy to welcome two guests who have made themselves very well known in the world of radio and their show, The Two Boomer Babes. So may I welcome Barbara and Kathy.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Hi there, ladies. Nice to hear from you.
Thanks for having us.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. Obviously, you know, you're well known for your show, but you're moving on to bigger and better things, I hear. And what could that be?
Well, we just got a publishing deal for our new novel, Perfectly Seasoned, believe it or not. We're still pinching ourselves.
Wow, Perfectly Seasoned. So I assume that to be, is it a cookbook?
Well, we have a lot of delicious food that's sort of woven throughout the book.
Very spicy, Dave. Very spicy.
Yes, if you like spicy food, you might not like it.
I like food and I like spice, yes. Indeed.
I love your accent. So how long have you been here for, in this country for?
Yeah, I've been here for about a year and a half now, I guess. So, I still have the accent, I'm afraid.
Well, also, I think your IQ level goes up like 30 points with a British accent.
Yes, it does. Barbara, we'll have to put a man in our book that has a British accent.
There we go. Well, maybe I can give you some ideas there.
Yes. A really buff, svelte, you know, handsome.
Well, obviously, I'm talking from behind the mic, so you can't really see me. But I don't want to ruin the idea there. But yes,
we're thinking Fabio with a British accent.
That's right.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think
perfect. Or maybe in just a kilt, you know, in the front cover. Nada. This is what our life has become.
Well, it certainly sounds even more exciting than before, I think. So please tell us more.
I think we figured out we're entrepreneurs, if nothing else. And, you know, just like with the radio show, you know, we saw a niche and, you know, we started a radio show. And then it just was sort of this natural progression. You know, we did see this niche, you know, in the publishing world. And we thought, you know what, let's try that. So, you know, we're just kind of almost going with the flow. I mean, we're trying to do it in a rational, you know, reasoned, you know, way, but I think we saw another niche, and like, you know, Kathy said, you know, the radio show had a wonderful run, but it was almost time to try something new. So here we are.
And how do you think your listeners will take to this new venture, which is, like you say, spicy?
I think they'd love it, hopefully. We have a lot of spicy listeners who've given us lots of good ideas, actually, over the years.
You know, so far, I mean, we haven't pushed it out big time, but we've definitely made the announcement, and we've gotten wonderful, wonderful feedback. So we'll see. Yeah. Hopefully, you know, it'll go over.
It certainly sounds exciting, so, you know, for yourselves and obviously for the readers. In your strong friendship that you've nurtured over the years, would you say that's been part of the key to your success?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've been with each other through thick and thin, and I'm sure there's more thick and thin to come. Yeah. So, you know, we plan to be there for each other.
Yes.
Was it really like the first time you'd actually sort of put pen to paper, or?
Well, we've written tons of scripts for the show, you know, over like 8 years. But, yeah, I mean, it's really the first time we've ever tried our hand at writing a novel. That's for sure. So, you know, it's like, you know, We just sort of dove into it. You know, we did have a couple of friends that have that are authors, and of course we've interviewed lots of authors too, but you know, the bottom line is we didn't have a whole lot of idea what we were getting ourselves into, as usual.
Yeah. It's kind of
which is a running theme throughout our friendship.
Well, I guess that's why it's so strong now. I mean, you jump into things, and the fact that you've got each other there, it's you know, it really brings you so much more together, no?
It's
funny.
We're like sisters. Neither of us have a sister, have a biological sister. So, I mean, we are the closest thing, you know, to sisters. And, you know, I mean, I think we could even finish each other's sentences, which we do in our book.
So how long have you actually known each other?
Well, let's see, like 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah. We met in preschool, just like where these girls met.
Oh, really? Oh, that's...
Not our preschool, our children's preschool.
Oh, okay,
that's kind of how our girls met as well in the book. So it sort of starts off like that.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. I mean, has that sort of fed you some ideas then, really, of how to elaborate the characters throughout the story?
In the book, they definitely, all five girls, met waiting in line, like Kathy and I did, overnight to, you know, register our kids in preschool. And we're both saying, like, this is not Harvard. What the heck are we doing here? And so that's how the book starts, too. And so these girls, you know, meet and they start talking and they go off for coffee. And that sets the scene for, you know, this lifelong friendship, which is really, you know, what happened to me and Kathy. So, you know, I think it's definitely the premise is taken from our life, definitely.
Great. I mean, the book itself, have you actually, you know, spent much time researching it beforehand, or was it just an idea that suddenly came to you and it was like over coffee and like, wow, you know, we really need to run with that?
Yep, that's about it.
Well, you know, if you want the gory details.
Ah, yes.
Okay. Well, the gory details, and Kathy, you fill in. The gory details are about 3 years ago, we interviewed this editor from Harlequin Romance, you know, those Harlequin books.
Yes.
I don't know if you know those. Anyway, so we asked this woman, like, okay, who writes this? Who reads it? And how come you don't have any middle-age heroines or protagonists? So she did say to us, you know, that's a good question, and they're trying to expand their repertoire. And so about a year ago, we were still doing the show, but we started thinking to ourselves, you know what, this is kind of, we had a little bit of a lull. I mean, it opposed to doing the show like, you know, 24 hours a day. We're doing it like 12 hours a day.
Wow.
And we thought to ourselves, you know, maybe we should try our hand at, you know, writing one of these things, you know, and just like our radio show, we never had any experience doing that. So we thought, you know, what the heck? So we put together an outline about these five middle-aged women, and it's really a story of their friendship with a lot of sort of spicy bits added in.
And a long list of characters and these very complicated lives, as lives are in midlife. And it just took off. It just, our imaginations, honestly, it wasn't that hard. It kind of came quite easily.
Well, and do you say that because it's not really fiction? It's more like real life experiences?
Well, we've melded in things we've heard, put it that way.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And people we know, but it's not any one person. It's definitely a composite.
Yeah.
So what we did was we put together an outline of this story, and we sent it off to Harlequin, the editor that we had interviewed, and she was very nice, and she said, you know, she gave us some ideas, but she said it wasn't really Harlequin material. I'm not sure if that's good or bad, but she did suggest some other publishing houses, and so we sent off of some queries to about five or six publishing houses, and we did get a very positive back from this one. An answer back from one of the publishing houses, and she said, you know, she really liked the idea. Could we send her the first three chapters? So we write away the first three chapters from the outline, and then we send it back to her, and then she writes back, and she said, I really like this. Can you send me the final chapter? So we write off the final chapter. We send it back, and then around November, she writes us back and said she really likes it. Could we send her the full manuscript? And we're like, oh, well, you can bleep this out. Oh, shucks.
Yes.
We have to write a book. Yeah. It's an adventure. It really is.
I mean, you talk about the adventure. I mean, would you say it was the biggest challenge that you've faced, really?
I don't think so. I mean,
I think it's just one more.
Yeah, it's one more. Yeah.
Just another little step along the road.
Yeah. I mean, we like to, well, at least I do. You know, I sometimes, you know, we both had sort of regular careers before this radio show. Well, actually, Kathy and I had a television show many, many years ago, and then she moved away. But anyway, then we had sort of regular careers, and then I like to call these like these harebrained ideas. And then, you know, actually it's Kathy that had the idea about this radio show because, you know, all these people were talking about things and, you know, midlife kind of things. And we thought there's no, you know, greater forum to converse. You know, we were all talking with our girlfriends, but no broader forum. And so Kathy really had the idea for this radio show. And it's like this is yet another harebrained idea, but they work somehow. I mean, we certainly hope the book takes off. I mean, we're still pinching ourselves. We even got a contract, you know, from like a real live good publisher.
Yeah, yeah, no.
We couldn't believe the, you know, when we got, you know, the response back. It was like, oh, my gosh. But that kind of typically is what happens. And then we have to figure out how to execute our idea.
And, I mean, the way your careers have developed and progressed, I mean, would you say that's partly to do with yourselves or partly to do with your generation, being sort of from the boomers generation?
I think both. You know, Kathy and I have a way of sort of egging each other on, unlike anybody else I've ever met. And I think it might be true for Kathy's perspective. But, you know, somehow we just, like, get into these, like, conversations and state of mind, and we just kind of come up with this stuff. And believe me, we've come up with some other things that we have not executed.
And is that just over coffee or with something stronger?
Depending. If it's after 5, it's something stronger.
Right. But never before 5.
Never.
I believe you, ladies.
But you would ask if it was the large. I think it's probably our largest single project, right, Barb? But you know, over time, the radio show, because it was just absolutely, as you know, yeah, producing a radio program is just nonstop. But this is probably the largest single project we've ever tackled.
Wow. I mean, were there any stages or any points that you thought, you know what, we really can't do this?
It depends who you're asking. Like every 5 minutes on my end.
He doesn't really mean that.
Well, you know, the fun thing about this is there really was no pressure. You know, if it worked, it worked, and if it didn't, it didn't. And
yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, we had expectations, but we kind of thought, getting published was like getting struck by lightning, you know?
Yeah, no, obviously, I mean, the quickness with which you got the deal and, I mean, the fact that, you know, probably about 3 publishers were interested out of 5 or 6, I mean, that's pretty good going.
Yeah, I think if we had gotten maybe, you know, like anything, if you get a lot of negative feedback, you question yourself or you question the idea, you question, oh, why am I doing this if nobody's going to like it or read it or whatever. And I think, you know, we kept getting good feedback. And I mean, not to say everything was all, you know, roses.
Roses, yeah.
It was, you know, positive. It was very constructive feedback from readers. And it was positive feedback from these publishers who wanted to see more, you know, which really sent us almost into heart attacks. But but we, I know, somehow under pressure we can, I don't know, we can put it out, I guess, right, Barb?
Right.
As we're delving into, I'm on now page 86. I think she's on 104 or something in our edits.
What do you think your current audience and followers are expecting from you and this new venture?
The ones that I've spoken with, I think they thought when our next chapter, we've signed a book contract, I think they think that we're writing about our interviews, which we have thought about many times, you know, how interesting and all these thousands and thousands of interviews that we've done. And so when I explained, well, actually, no, it's a novel, I think they're a little surprised.
Yeah, I guess they are. Yeah, I have to say, you know, speaking to my producer, Julio, it was, wow, you know, that's quite a, yeah, a break from the past.
Exactly. But, you know, our mantra always was, even with the radio show, everyone has a story to tell, regardless of their station in life. So we're just continuing on with that and telling a story.
Yeah, yeah.
With a lot of spice.
Romance has always been the types of books that you've read, or is that just a recent thing that you suddenly thought, well, you know what, we now like romance. Romance is the new thing.
I mean, I never really was big into romance books, quite honestly.
Yeah, except here's the big reveal. Barbara read all of the 50 Shades.
Oh, I was curious. I mean, who couldn't be curious?
She did. I couldn't get through the first book, and she
I know, but
all.
I was so mad at myself every word I read.
But she wanted more.
And I don't know if I'd call that romance books. I'd call that more, I don't know what, S&M.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you learn anything new, though, Barbara?
Oh, my God. Not that I practice, let me put it that way.
Not that you can talk about on radio.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I was a little shocked, I have to say. You know, a funny story about the 50 Shades of Grey is, I was actually, my father was in the hospital, and it was a few years, you know, when it first came out, and I asked my sister-in-law, you know, I had a lot of time just to sit there while my dad slept, and I said, you know, can you recommend a book to read? And she said, oh, yeah, there's a new book called 50 Shades of Grey, and I never heard of it. And so the hospital, the closing time was at 9 o'clock, and I'm running out, you know, the door, and I thought, okay, I'm going to stop at the bookstore on my way back home. So I stop at the bookstore, and they are literally putting the close sign on, and I'm knocking at the door, and so some guy opens it up, and I said, oh, you know what, can I just run in and get this book? I know exactly what book it is, and I'll just buy it real fast, and I'll just be on my way. And he said, well, okay, what book is it? And I said, well, have you heard of the book 50 Shades of Grey? And he goes, 50 Shades of Grey? And so he calls out to all the coworkers, like, yeah, she wants 50 Shades of Grey, and they're all laughing hysterically, and I couldn't figure out why they were laughing, because I had no idea what this book was, and it wasn't until I got home, I was mortified that these people knew I even bought the book.
And then she's hiding it inside a magazine on the airplane reading it.
Oh, my God, it was like a train wreck. I could not stop looking at this book. But, you know, there's an example of, you know, she's middle-aged and, you know, a frumpy kind of, you know, I guess she's British, right?
Author? Yeah, yeah, the author's actually English, yes. I don't know her personally, but, I assume whether or not she's actually like the character herself or...
Didn't get that image when I... She's a little different from the person you imagine. So just goes to show, we middle-aged people could have very vivid imagination.
Yeah. From my own perspective, you know, it's not that I've actually read 50 Shades of Grey yet. So obviously, you know, I hear all these things. But, I mean, would you say that that's been like a point from which to find that sort of genre of literature that's maybe now coming to market?
I would not compare ours at all to that. Ours is spicy, but I think ours has really a lot of depth of character. And something that is so completely relatable to, you know, to many women our age.
Mm-hmm. We had a couple guy readers that
liked it, you know, too.
Uh-huh. So, I mean,
but I think it's really, you know, of course, I'm totally biased, but, you know, I've really fallen in love with these girls and their friendship and their, you know, just their lives. You know, I think hopefully it'll be a big appeal. There are a lot of us midlifers out there.
Is there like one particular lead character in the story?
We have our narrator is a woman who actually is a sex therapist.
Wow.
And she's also a blogger, and she has an enormous following, millions of readers. And she goes, you know, she has kind of a fake name that she blogs under. But she has her blogs that are sort of running throughout the various seasons of the book. The book is written in seasons, and she's also the narrator. So her name is Jody, and She has quite an interesting life and background. And then, you know, she adds a lot of spice to it with her advice.
Wow.
But it's also interesting with the four other, well, there's five characters, but I think Kathy and I each related to certain characters more than others. So those were kind of those are the ones that we each focused on. And then we would write the characters' lives. You know, we each took, you know, half of the characters or two and half of the characters and then kind of melded them together. So, you know, people ask us how we wrote this thing, and I really do think that we sort of became these characters and then, you know, then sort of melded their lives together in a crazy kind of way.
Is there one particular male character in the book that that comes in for any particular treatment, let's say?
Well, oh, we have quite a few male characters.
Many.
Wow. It is saucy then.
It is.
They're not always the best people, let me put it that way, but there are some good ones.
There are some good ones.
Yeah, there's some good ones, but there's also some really louses in the book as well.
Mm-hmm. But there are some good ones. There are some keepers, put it that way.
Oh, okay.
But we have quite a few. We have David, and we have...
Yeah. And he's a louse that turned into a keeper. So
really?
We have both of those.
You do know my name is David, so...
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
I hope that's no reflection of me.
Not at all.
I'll stick to the Fabio comparison, I think.
Okay. They're in there. The good, the bad, and the ugly, right?
Yeah, of course, that's all part and parcel of life, I guess, really, and part of the growing up.
Exactly.
Yeah. And thus the title of our book, you know, Perfectly Seasoned. It's like, okay, well, you get to a certain age, and you are perfectly seasoned, you know, warts and all, you know, no matter life has thrown a bunch of stuff your way, and but, you know, you've gone through it, and... You know, you're wise and you're perfectly seasoned.
And do you think that that's the point you want to make to your readers, really, like those in midlife, that you need to understand that, you know, in society, you are perfectly seasoned and, you know, there's nothing wrong with the age that you're at or, you know, that life just doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Can you write that up for us and we'll put it in our book?
And
you get us, Dave. Yes.
And where did you pluck the title from? Was it did each of you come up with one word, or was it a case of like, wow, you know, yeah?
Oh God, I have to give Barbara the credit.
Was it me?
It was.
You did say she was the spicy one, so.
Yes, she is.
Oh well, I don't. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Wait till you read this book. You will not think of Kathy in the same way. No, I really think it just came to us, and I think we happen to be talking about food, which we always do, and somehow
there's a lot of food in this book.
There's a lot of food in this book.
Well, I'm definitely going to read it then.
Kathy wrote most of the food descriptions.
There's a lot of the sensory going on in this book, you know.
And would you say, I mean, from your experiences previously, has that in any way helped you write the book?
Definitely, because these, you know, just like our show, it kind of comes from our own experiences and also our audience's experiences. A lot of these women, you know, are experiencing all these things that people do in midlife, you know, getting divorced from their husband. In one case, somebody finds out their 35-year-old, you know, marriage is ending because her husband is gay. And, you know, another one's mother has Alzheimer's, and another one's husband, you know, she becomes a widow. I mean, there's so many, and, you know, another one of her adult child comes back and lives in her basement because he doesn't have a job. And, I mean, there's so many parallels to what really is going on with, you know, with us and with, you know, not necessarily us, but with,
no,
but
so,
with
certainly.
You know, with
not
people in midlife.
So, I mean, it obviously addresses, like, you know, not really just midlifers, but, I mean, the other younger characters in the story.
Oh, yeah. We have marriages happening. You know, kids getting engaged, and I mean, it's just kind of a capsule of time, you know. And I think a lot of people will really relate. It was interesting. We've had readers along the way. One of them we gave to is a physician, and not thinking at all, honestly, that this would be her cup of tea. She was just very kind, and you know, offered to be a reader. And we got the feedback from her, and she totally got it. She totally related. She had been in a kind of a not great marriage, and the character, you know, was she could really relate to this woman and her marriage. And at the end of it all, her final kind of words to us were, "I just wish I was one of them, and I think I'll read it again."
Wow.
So we thought that was like, oh, man.
And then we've had some surprises of people that have actually related to the book, because my daughter has a close friend who happens to be gay, and he's a young guy. He's in his 20s. And she gave him the book, unbeknownst to me and Kathy. And apparently he absolutely loves the book, and he kept texting about, oh, you know, Betts's husband left her. What's going to happen? And he was so into the book that, you know, eventually I found out that, you know, he was reading the book. We were having this running dialogue. So, you know, it's surprising. I mean, it's middle-aged women. It's middle-aged people. But it's also very surprising who enjoys or even relates, you know, to the book.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think like you just said there, I mean, it's people. I mean, we're all people, and it doesn't really matter what age we are. I'm sure we can relate to certain circumstances.
Right. And, you know, as Kathy said, we really we didn't want to deviate from this niche, this middle-aged, yeah, you know, women's niche, because, you know, she said, you know, you look around and there's really nothing to give women hope in midlife that, yeah, you can find a new love, or yes, your life isn't over. You can still have sex. You can still find you can still do all these things even if you're, you know, pushing 60.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the message that we, you know, really wanted to get across, and we really did not see very much out there. Mm-hmm. In anywhere.
And for male readers, I mean, would you advise them to read it so they know what to look out for?
Oh, absolutely. Please buy the book.
With our limited repertoire, yes. You know, a funny story. We gave this book to actually Kathy's sister-in-law to look over. And, you know, she was very nice. She had a lot of good comments. But the one comment she did write back, and she said, you know, these sex scenes are getting a little redundant. And we're like, okay, well, this is our repertoire, you know. What do we do? Do we hire a consultant, or what do we do? So that's when we started asking a few more people and Googling a little bit more, and to sort of, you know, buff up these scenes that we were definitely, you know, not used to writing about, that's for sure.
I was so shocked when I was reading what Barbara wrote.
Oh, I know.
Wow.
And when Kathy was writing these things, I just couldn't believe it.
I've known her for 25 years. I had no idea.
And, of course, I've told Kathy's children that she's written all those scenes.
And we will never. Wrap us to tie us to a tree to get it out of us. Oh, that sounds like fun.
So, I mean, you've obviously got children. Well, two. Did you say you had daughters, Barbara?
Yes, we each have two daughters, actually. The same age, maybe a few months apart.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. And have they actually given you any tips or any pointers at all as well? Or?
Well, mine have actually said they're scarred for life after they read it. Yeah, I think maybe you've had a more positive response.
No, mine have been kind of quiet.
So have they changed their identities on Facebook now as a result?
Exactly.
No, they want us to change ours. They definitely want us to write under a pseudonym, which I think we're going to do, actually.
Seriously, really?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Why do you think? Do you think that lends a sort of aura to your new venture? Or?
You know, I think, first of all, that with two names on a book, I'm not sure that's so sexy, you know, so to speak. And then we thought what we do is have one name, but really kind of, because our mothers have been such huge influences with us, you know, to us, you know, our whole lives.
Uh-huh, that's great to hear.
And they would get such a kick out of what we're doing. In fact, they would probably, if they were around in this world, they would, you know, help us. And so what we thought we'd do is we take each of their names, their first names, and my mom's name is Sarah, and Kathy's mom's name is Jane. So her first name is going to be Sarah Jane, and then we're just trying to figure out the last name. So.
Oh, that's very sweet. Oh.
Yeah.
And the success, I mean, of the book, I mean, in terms of what your readers get from it, what they learn from it, and maybe the value that it gives them, I mean, can you compare that to the success that it may bring commercially as well?
What we hope is that the readers will fall in love with these women, and they'll relate, and they'll relate to the situations, and also the guys as well in there. And I know one woman, a reader, commented, she said, you know, it gives me hope that maybe I'll find love again before I die. Was like, oh, wow. Man, that's kind of saying it, and, you know, dagger in the heart. But it really was heartfelt that she wrote that.
Right. And, you know, on that, you know, giving, you know, we do hope it gives people, you know, hope to just sort of continue on and to feel like life's not over and that, you know, they're, no matter what life throws your way, you can keep on going. And it can be just as good, if not better, you know, than, you know, your earlier years. So, you know, life's not over when you're middle-aged. And I think that's really what we're trying to get across.
And I think also the beauty and the importance of no matter who it is, if it's just one person in your life that just kind of keeps you whole, you know, whoever that person is or
right,
people.
Friendship.
You
right,
know, like this, right. like these friendships, this bond that even though these women are so busy, their lives are complicated, they have to carve out time to be together because, you know, otherwise they'd never get together.
Yeah.
But yet they're the ones that hold each other together through all the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Did you actually divide the characters up between yourselves then and say, well, yeah, I'm going to do this character and I think you're better, Kathy, with this one? Or,
you know, we did and we didn't. I think we were somehow each inspired about a particular character or about a particular storyline within that character's life. But I think we constantly went back and forth and filled in. One would write, and then one would kind of fill it in and add to the depth of the character and to the storyline, and then, you know, and the other one would take another one. And what's interesting is one of our editors said to us, you know, I cannot tell that your voice is one. I cannot tell that there are two writers in this book.
Wow. Yeah, well, I guess that's maybe one thing. You have that sort of synchronicity and harmony there, no? After so long working together that you, well, more or less, I guess, like sisters.
Yeah.
You kind of understand each other's next move.
And the funny thing is, you know, we'd be sitting, because we live a couple hours away from each other, and we'd be sitting on the phone talking about these girls for hours, and it was like we're talking about, like, real people. And can you believe that Jody did this or Beth's husband had the nerve? And they really, really took on a life of their own, and they still do, which is scary.
And it's like, it's just heartbreaking. You know, you really get into the... I have to tell you a very funny thing. Bart was talking about writing these different, you know, spicy scenes, which she did all of them, I have to tell you.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, right.
And I hope that her girls hear this interview. Anyway, but one really funny one was we have hilarious. We have captured, like, our text messages back and forth to each other. It's really quite hilarious. And one of them was Barbara was at the hair salon, and she was getting, like, you know, what do you call it? She was getting highlights done. And so she's in the middle of this, and she has her laptop on top, you know, on her, and she's, you know, waiting for it to, you know, set or whatever. And she's writing this very, like, intimate scene. And there's this woman sitting next to her.
I was wondering why she was moving your chair away from me.
And Barb is texting me like, oh, my God, you can't believe the looks I'm getting.
So have you been back to the hairdresser since?
Actually, no. I desperately need to.
From the main plot originally, I mean, did you really have to work hard to get that final sort of manuscript together?
Yeah, it's a bear, you know, to actually write a book. But we were advised by some really seasoned writers that said, you know, you've got this great outline. Just follow your outline and try to really stick, you know, on cue. And if it doesn't work, well, then you have to kind of, you know, you have to adjust as you go along. But try your best. And that really was great advice, I think, for us. And then we just, you know, we just created these characters and these situations and lives and, you know, and then lo and behold, we finally you know, to our mind, finished it, which was kind of a laugh, and because it's, you know, we're in the throes of this editing process, which is just unbelievable. But we sent it off, and then about how much later, Barb? Like 6 weeks later, maybe?
Yeah.
Wow, as quick as that.
We got a contract.
Wow.
So after the, you know, the attorneys go through all the stuff they do and blah, blah, blah. Oh, my gosh. We had a signed deal, and now we're like, what the heck did we think we were doing?
And it really is kind of funny because, you know, neither of us, like I said, are, you know, we're not, certainly not published authors. We've written scripts and things.
Yet.
We've written thousands of scripts.
Yeah.
You know,
but, you know, we do have to pepper this thing in order to make it sort of, you know, titillating to the reader. You know, we do have to have a little bit of spicy stuff in there. So we both laugh that, like, we're writing these scenes, and it's like we're each telling our kids that the other one wrote those. And then if our computer ever gets stolen, they'd think we were, like, either sex-crazed or something, because you would believe all the thesaurus words that we look up.
Yeah, and the Googling of the situation. Tedious, you know, I mean, just grueling, going over every word and making sure situations and, you know.
And commas never look the same to me. They
oh
never will.
We have PTSD. We have comma PTSD.
I told Kathy I don't want to think about another book until this one is done.
One of the very first things we had to take care of was, did you know the word that, T-H-A-T, does not belong in a book?
Wow.
And in all of our thousands and thousands of words, we had something like 540 THATSs that we had to remove.
And same with it. The vague use of it is a no-no.
And there.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
I'm certainly learning some new things for my own future projects then.
We become experts in grammar overnight.
So, I mean, after writing the book then, did you suddenly feel like rather empty yourselves that, you know, your kind of character that you'd got involved in was sort of at an end?
Well, they're not at an end at all, you know, because we really, I mean, their lives, you know, they're really continuing. So I think that's why we see it as at least another book, if not another.
Wow.
Because let me tell you, they're full of ginger. They got a lot going on.
And it's still the kind of thing that where we wake up in the middle of the night and we think, oh, my God, this is going to happen to Jody in the next one. Which is, we don't sleep so well these days, I have to tell you. It might be easier if they were, you know, final. It was, you know, actually finished.
Wow. And I mean the editors or even some of the people that you've had on the show previously, like with authors, I mean, did any of them give you any advice?
Actually, a couple did. And we also have friends that are, a couple friends that are authors. And, yeah, they did. I don't think anybody we talked to has ever written, like, a romance novel, a women's, you know, kind of romance novel like we have. So it was a little bit different. But, yeah, we did get some advice from people that knew kind of what they were doing. Mm-hmm. Whether or not we took it to heart, I'm not sure.
Yeah. And we've actually just heard recently from through a connection from a pretty big name romance writer who's really offered us some wonderful feedback. And it's sort of like, okay, you know, take a deep breath and you're going to get through this. And a lot of stuff you got to put up with and pick your fights and, you know, just do it. Just, you know, nose to the grindstone. And bottom line is put out the best you can, and they do too. So
yeah, no, that's encouraging. That's great to hear.
Yeah.
Any advice that you would give to, I mean, any of your previous listeners or followers, if they'd like to embark on the same sort of thing?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously patience and maybe some
patience. Don't think about too much. Think about the project too much and just jump in. Because if you really know what you're getting into, you probably won't do it.
That is true. You know, and I also think we actually, out of, I think, the five that we were invited to, you know, it's a very interesting process. You can't just throw your ideas at these people. They don't look at them, the publishers. Yeah. You have to write, and you have to send a query. And if they're interested, then you have to send your little what's it called, the synopsis. And then it sort of goes from there. But I think one thing that we did was we really did our research up front on who were the major players in women's fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And then we tried to hone it in on, like, midlife. You know, because this isn't young women's fiction. This isn't, you know, teenage fiction. It's that, you know, and there's a niche there.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
If your book is, you know, about whatever, I think that was one of the things we did right, because we really narrowed it down. And then we actually ended up getting three back, I think, right, ultimately.
Right, right.
And then we signed a deal with one.
Wow, that's very good going then. Would you say, I mean, the success that you've had previously, I mean, do you want to replicate that with the book?
Oh, well, we hope it's a bestseller.
We hope it's awfully hopeful. We hope they're running out of it in the bookstores and on Amazon.com or wherever they sell
them.
When
we go to the beach, we want to see every middle-aged lady reading our book.
That's right. That's right. And if not, I'm going to walk up and down with a bag selling them. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we're so timid to even think about that, you know.
I can't believe that.
Well, you know, all appendages are crossed that it's well received, put it that way.
So when can we expect the books to be on the shelves?
Well, hopefully the beginning of January. But that's the aim. But, you know, we're just in the sort of round one of these edits. So hopefully, you know, it'll go according to schedule. But, yeah, the aim, the goal is the beginning of January.
Great. So I can look forward to a cruise in the Bahamas then in January with your book.
Oh, good.
We'll even sign one for you, Dave.
that's very kind, ladies. Lovely. Yeah.
Well, especially if you're going to be, you know, our Fabio on the book cover. So.
Well, I shall maybe spend 2 months at the gym first, I think, before we do that. But it's time for us to wrap it up there, if you don't mind.
Oh, well, it has been a supreme pleasure.
It has, girls. Let me say, I can't wait to read the first few pages.
Well, it doesn't really start till page 10, the juicy bit.
Well,
it's not like 50 Shades of Grey where on page 1 you're like right into it already.
But I'm sure once you work up to it, I'm sure that's it. There's no stopping it that then.
You work into it in our book.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, we hope you'll read it cover to cover, Dave, not just the first few pages.
No, indeed I will. Don't worry about that, ladies. It sounds interesting stuff, and obviously, you know, something that I might be able to learn a thing or two myself.
Oh, good.
Right.
You know, I think that's the whole point, really. It's, you know, it's about people, you know, being open to everything, really, because that's the sort of world that we live in. So never dismiss anything.
Funny you should say that, because we have, you know, we had some male listeners, you know, quite a few actually, uh-huh. And they said to us, one guy said to us, one of the reasons he listened to our show was to understand more of the female perspective, which I thought was really interesting.
Exactly, yeah. I remember in my sort of younger years, sort of like reading my girlfriend's Cosmopolitan, for example, and, you know, yeah, it doesn't help to for us male readers to indulge.
Mm-hmm. And plus, you can find your feminine side, Dave.
Yeah, possibly. I'm sure it's out there.
Oh,
well, I'd like to give a big thank you then to our guests today. I say guests as it's been Kathy and Barbara here with me. Thank you for joining us today, ladies.
Oh, it's been our pleasure, Dave. Good luck.
I hope our guests are content with what you've had to offer today. I mean, it's been a very spicy dish in many respects.
Well, we're glad you appreciate it, Dave, and we're going to send you an autographed copy as soon as it comes out.
I look forward to that. I mean, and when I'm actually reading the book, do I need to actually hide it in a magazine so people don't know that I'm reading it?
You might, actually. I don't know. But we hope that you'll just show it to all, you know, and we can keep everyone posted, too, if it's... of how it's progressing on our website to the number 2 boomerbabes.com.
Okay.
And we'll be, you know, rolling out our author page and all that good stuff.
I look forward to it, I have to say. No, I will not be shy about showing off the book.
Okay. And the cover will not have Fabio on it or any, like, bodice ripper, you know,
and I was just about to renew my gym membership.
The next book.
Okay.
Send us an 8x10 glossy, Dave, and we'll see what we can do.
Okay. Right. I'll be down the gym in a few hours, believe me.
Perfect.
Okay, so wrapping up today's Content King. And in the meantime, stay content and stay with Content King. You can find us and our productions on www.zimer.co. That's ZIMER.co. And also at Twitter at ZIMERMedia.co. And myself at RockandRollsDJ. That's all for today, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Bye-bye.
Are we interview? Is this our interview?
We don't want to spoil it all.
Yeah, that's true.
Julio. Okay. Julio, you're such a trickster.
I know. I didn't know when I first arrived here what he was like, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, he gets everything.
Yeah. Hey, we could have lunch and we'll fill you in.
believe me, ladies, he's even worse at home, I believe. So